I'm your guide and host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. The moment I started listening to my guest Amy Harrison's podcast, I started smiling, and it never stopped. I became an immediate fan of her advice and her outlook on life. Amy lives and shares her creative ideas and joy as a copywriter, but it is so much more than that. Her life has taken many twists and turns, but creativity and being happy are the guideposts. I bet you won't be able to take the smile off your face either as you listen to the wisdom and inspiration Amy Harrison shares as we shift the story together. So delighted that you're talking with me today. I've listened to your podcast, which you'll have to tell me where it's going somewhere in this call, but I listen to your podcast every time with this huge smile on my face going, oh my God, she is so awesome. I want to be like her. So when you said yes, you'd be on this podcast, I just couldn't wait to introduce you to people that might not have run across you. And before I started asking you questions, one of the reasons that I just adored your podcasts and what you talk about and your blogs and the way you put your stuff up is that you come from such a creative, different space and you're so real. And it's just, that's how it is. So how did you, I know that you came from a theater background, but how did you get into doing the arts? And we talked about before we got on the actual recording that creative people tend to see things differently and ask questions anyway. So I think that's where I'm going. Maybe you can kind of lead me where you want to go with that.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, that's one of the best introductions that I've ever had. So I'm flattered and humbled, and it's an absolute pleasure to join you here today. And we can absolutely talk a little bit about the podcast later on and what's coming up with that, because it's on a little bit of a hiatus at the moment, but it's not disappearing. My path has sort of, I've always loved writing. I've always been very creative. I've absolutely loved stories. That's what I would do. In fact, I've found a few. I still find in shoeboxes little stories that I've written and illustrated. Then I used to write them for my granddad, and I would staple, I'd write them on paper, fold them in half, staple them. And to me, that was a proper book. Always loved writing. And then got to school and found that academically I was pretty well suited. I loved learning, loved all my lessons. But funnily enough, what that did as I got older and you start making decisions about what the next step is, I found that I was being put on a more traditional path. So I actually wanted to be a barrister when I was thinking about going to university. And, you know, that was it. And my school was behind me and I was going to be a barrister and I was looking at Oxford and Cambridge. And then it just kind of, I'd always done a lot of creative things on the side, but that creative itch just got bigger and bigger. And then I found a course teaching screenwriting for film and television. And when I read it, it was like that creative spark just exploded. And I thought, yeah, all those things that I know I should do would be a great career path. All the things that my teachers love, that pales into insignificance because I read this course description and I'm so excited and I feel alive again. My teachers were quite disappointed because it was such a deviation. You know, I said, oh yeah, I'm going to go and write scripts for 3 years. And the funny thing with the sort of creative paths or when you put yourself on these paths is that at the end of 3 years, I changed my mind again and decided I never wanted to write ever again. Because I'd just been on this conveyor belt and it had stamped all the joy for me out of it at that time. And so I've constantly gone in these little cycles of sort of these fluctuations of I'm really feeding my creative soul, and then, okay, I suddenly want to be on this more traditional path or this corporate path. And it, the fluctuations have got less and less extreme. And now what I find is that I'm better in tune to find a little bit of balance from each. So this is why, yes, I'm a copywriter. Yes, I work for businesses. Yes, I'm very conscious about marketing myself and getting clients. But I absolutely have to have weaved in the this ability or this outlet for the creative stuff that just makes me feel alive.
Well, you do it so well. I'm laughing because I know when I also love learning, and I was going to be something much more official, and all I really wanted ever to do was dance and write and be in theater and do things that meant nothing and you can't make any money at it. And why would you want to do that? So I'm laughing, but I'm also laughing with happiness because that was one of the things about your podcast. And I know it will come back is the theater part and the creative joy that just rings through it while you're giving such cool tips that I would actually wrote things down, which is after a while you get tired of writing what everybody says down. I actually wrote yours down and then tried to do some of them because of the way you presented it. So you do what you're talking about.
Well, that's fantastic. And this is what I love to hear. And what I, with the videos that I do and with the podcast, the biggest compliment I get from people is to say, the way that you did it, so the sketch or the story that you chose to illustrate it, really made me remember it, and it made me remember that lesson, and it made me then try it out in my copy or try something new. And I suppose it was a way of me infusing my personality into my marketing, because this is how I naturally am. So I have a vivid imagination, and I'm constantly looking for parallels and comparisons to try and explain, even just in day-to-day conversations. And I'm always looking for things which are a little bit quirky or a little bit funny and things that make me laugh. And so I loved in the podcast, I would think about an outline. I would think, okay, what's the things that I wanted to teach, the points that I wanted to get across? And then I would start thinking about little fun sketches that I could maybe use to illustrate those points. And they took a little bit of extra work, but they were just so much fun to do. And I would enjoy listening back to them, and I would get a kick out of them, and I would find them funny. And this is kind of what I would say to myself, is that if I don't want to listen to someone just talk straight, you know, and if I don't want to hear myself just talk straight, then how can I be expected for other people to give me their attention? Which is why I really like to punctuate what I do with things that are fun, just little bits of breaks that can alleviate the concentration that's maybe needed for you to take in a very dry lesson.
Yes. Oh, and your voices and changing the characters and telling little stories. You do that. It's delightful. So I understand that what you're saying also about you do something and then you do it and it becomes so boring because it's no longer the creative part, even though it was creative to start with. So how do you keep from that happening now with what you do? Just because you just keep doing it the way you are, and that's why it keeps on working?
There's a couple of things which have worked really well for me. So when the other thing that I do are videos under the label of Amy TV, and the two things that have worked really well for me is one, forcing sounds a little bit extreme, but having the discipline to produce on a regular basis, and then two, having a system or having a structure that allows me to produce things a little quicker, which means it's easier for me to be creative. So I'll give you a few examples. With Amy TV, when I first started that, it was super creative. I absolutely loved it. But what would happen is I would get all excited, and then I would get busy, and then it might be a few weeks would go by or a couple of months before I'd do a video. And what happens there is that you're not, you know, that creative muscle is like a muscle. If you're not using it, it can easily lie dormant. And I found that the more I turn up to the page and say, okay, I'm going to do an episode, or I've got this podcast to do, the more my creative sort of cogs start to turn. And then the other thing that would happen is because I was publishing sporadically, it felt like every time I turned up to create, I was creating from scratch. So then I was thinking, okay, what order do I need to do it? How do I script it? And so what I came up with was, this is the format of the show. This is the format of the podcast. And it just helped me every time I came to do a new show, I knew the structure from start to finish. And what I would think is, okay, here's a lesson. Then we're going to go to an example. Here's a lesson. Then it's this and then it's that. And that structure freed up so much mental energy. And it meant that it was a bit like having a producer that, you know, even though it was just a little template on a Google Doc, it was like someone saying, okay, now think of, you know, some creative ideas and we'll just pop those right in there. And it made it so much easier to be creative.
Oh, that's kind of like what we were talking about before we started recording, is that idea of being a planner and a system, but in the actual doing of it, it's the creativity that comes out, but you need that system. Making creativity a system is different than having a plan in a system and then allowing to be creative with inside of it. And that sounds like that's what you've done when you set up a template and the way you do it, so that you can always stay creative.
Yeah, and also the other thing that I tell you, a big difference with me is that I'm sure this is not unique. I used to feel that the more creative aspects of my work were less important than the ones which felt a bit more serious. And so what I would do is I would push, you know, the idea of recording podcasts or making videos to the weekend and outside my work hours. And I realized that actually these are really important parts of my business. They are vital parts of my marketing. And so what I would do is within my week is ring fence time and say, right, this is time where you've got a couple of hours and all you have to do is you can just think of funny things along the theme of copywriting. And yeah. So then you can just turn up and say, right, I'm playing, but it's got a purpose, and it's so much more freeing.
I really understand what you're saying, as I've put all of this inside my work week, so that because that makes me excited. It's the creative part, and it really kind of fuels everything else I do. And the other thing that you said that I thought was really interesting, you said a lot of things are interesting, but one of them was that you were doing it sporadically, and then you got into more of a habit of saying you were going to do it on a system. And I've noticed that people that say that they're creative and artists in whatever field they are, because I think we all are in some form, but I'm going to put in quotes, make themselves do it in a way that they keep expressing it to other people, that creative, it just kind of, it's like a clog in your brain or something. It's almost like you have to be willing to commit that you'll put out that creative, whatever it is, and share it on some kind of system and schedule. Otherwise, the creativity just kind of goes, well, if you don't really like me, screw it. I'm just going to go visit someone else until you feel like sharing me. Do you think that's true for you?
That is absolutely true. There's a couple of things, because it takes a lot of work to do your creative work. It does take effort. I mean, yes, it's fun and it's rewarding, but there's parts within that that may be a challenge. And I think that it's very easy to remember those parts when you're thinking about, oh, shall I do that today? And it's easy to remember those parts, and it's easy to forget the pure joy that you have when you've got this completed piece of creative work. And for me as well, one of the big things that I loved was sharing it and getting feedback. And it absolutely made my day if people got in touch and said, I really enjoyed that. That made me laugh, or that made me smile, or, you know, this made a difference to me. That impact, that final part of the creative process of sharing it with other people, I get such a boost from, and it makes me feel very connected to a lot of people. But it is easy to forget all that and then to put it under this umbrella of work. And I think because if it's something creative, it's easy to think, well, you know, maybe I guess I should get on top of my admin first and then I'll do my creative work. And I think you really do need to protect that. And I've just finished a book actually, and it's excellent. It's by Mark McGuinness, who is a coach for creative entrepreneurs, and it is called The Motivation. It's called Motivation for the Creative Person, I think, or Creative People. And it's superb, and it details this, and it talks about why we feel this resistance around doing the work that we love to do, and more importantly, how to get past that so that you can do it and you can keep turning up to the page and you can do it more consistently without it feeling like such an effort.
Oh, well, definitely. I'm going to put that book in the show notes because I love any book that can help us get past that. I also think that we kind of have a obligation, again, in quotes, to each other to do that. That if we don't express ourselves in whatever way it is, the world is missing out on something. And
Yes.
right now, I think the world needs a lot of creative love.
It does. It does. I mean, if you think about it, you take, I mean, to just even think about the positive energy and the vibrations around a happy, joyful piece of creative work, and to put that in the world, out into the world, that is only going to have positive ramifications, you know. And I agree with you. I think that's what the world needs.
Absolutely. So, what about your podcast? What's happening with it?
So yes, so the podcast before was it was hosted on Rainmaker FM, and they had a number of different podcasts to do with digital marketing, and they have vastly streamlined their podcasts, and mine was one of the many that it didn't fit with where they were moving in the future. And I think, you know, it was very individual. It was very much tailored to me and to my plan. So I will be taking it over. The only thing stopping me doing it at the moment is sorting out the logistics of transferring over subscribers, so me and choosing the platform that I want to choose to do my podcast, and getting it to a stage so that when I am ready to launch, that I can reach out to all the people who were listening before and let them know that I am back up and running. So, I mean, I've got some crazy, crazy travel weeks coming up ahead, and things are a little bit nutty at the moment. But this is something that I am talking about with the guys that used to host it to see how we can start moving that over. So it will definitely be up and running again. It's just a case of when and where it will be.
Oh, well, as I said, I went to listen to your podcast and you said, this is the last one. I went,
I
no.
know, I felt exactly the same when I got the email. And they said, no, it's, you know, we're retiring a number of shows. And I was like, no.
So I know I'm not the only one who's just waiting for you to bring it back, but you have so much to offer in the meantime. So I'll put all that in the show notes to this podcast, but where, because some people listen in the car and while they're walking and at the gym. So where would you like people to go to find you so they can get on that list so we'll know all about what you do?
Yeah, so the easy, in fact, well, if they want to find out about the podcast, there is a landing page where people can sign up and find out when the new podcast is ready. I don't know what the URL is off the top of my head, but I can certainly send it over to you.
I'll
But
find it. I remember.
yeah, if they go to, but if you want to find out a bit more about me and what I do, harrisonamy.com is the best place, and you can find links there to Amy TV, and not so much the podcast, but like I say, if they sign up to the landing page, I will let people know when it's coming back.
And there's so much there for people to learn about how to be joyful in their work, which is really what
Yes.
this podcast is all about, is like be yourself and have fun while you're doing it, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, and to be able to tell your story.
Yes, because we want to hear it. Okay, so I have one last question for you that I always ask everyone. And I always wait for this because I just love hearing the different answers. So here it is. What is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone else in the midst of changing a life story?
In the midst of changing a
Life. story. So making a shift.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That's such a good question, because I have made shifts where I've made them big and I haven't really thought about them. So, for example, you know, right, I'm not going to be a lawyer anymore. I'm going to go and be a scriptwriter. And then, oh, I'm not going to be a scriptwriter anymore. I'm going to go and live in Canada for a bit. And they have been very rewarding. But also, I've made those changes in my life where it has taken a lot of consideration and a lot of thought. So but the one thing that I always do, and I think that I would press upon people to adopt as a regular habit, is I'm consistently checking in with myself and asking myself if I'm happy. And just that process, that has been probably the biggest influence in all the shifts that I have made throughout my life to date. Because if I'm making a change, whether it's drastic and overnight or whether it's bit by bit and developing new habits, it has stemmed from asking myself, am I happy where I am doing what I'm doing? And there's been some kind of area that is saying not quite, or there's something that's a little bit amiss. So I'm always doing that, and I've done that. That's how my business has evolved. I think it's really dangerous and easy to do, to get on a path of being busy without consciously maybe recognizing where that path is taking you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And that's such a good piece of advice. Am I happy? And what's kind of sad is I think a lot of people, if they haven't asked themselves that question before, may be surprised that they don't know if they're happy or not. So
yeah. And I know that. I think the reason that I ask myself this so much is because I've worked for myself for quite a while now. And what happens there is that everything, and I started working for myself because I was in a job that I was very unhappy. It was very corporate. It was very lacking in creativity. And that was about 8 years ago. And when I started working for myself, everything changes because you're in control. And so you have to ask yourself that question, because it's not a case of, oh, I'm unhappy in my job, but that's because my boss is a jerk. You then have to take responsibility. And so you are at the helm. And that's why I have, probably compared to a lot of my friends and family, I've got a much lower tolerance of the things that I will do if they don't make me happy. And that makes me sound like, that's not to say like I'm stubborn or I'm difficult, quite the opposite. It's that I'm very open to things that I think will bring me joy. And I'm more than happy to walk away from people or situations where I feel like, you know, this isn't a good fit for me. And I feel no guilt or hesitation in doing so.
Such good advice to everybody. And if everybody would take it, I know the world would be a much better place. And that I want to thank you for setting such a good example, for bringing so much joy into people's life and still bringing so much practicality in their life at the same time. It's such a great example of that balancing act of creativity and practicality and joy all flowing through it. And I really appreciate you spending this time with me, bringing so much joy to me on this podcast and all the stuff that you do, Amy. It's just been awesome.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been an absolute joy to do it.
Thank you. Still smiling? I know I am. Amy uses the question, am I happy, as a guidepost to making choices. Sometimes it's hard to actually know what makes us happy. Here's a tip from me to you. Next time you feel happy, take a moment to write down why. Where are you? What are you doing? And while you are still happy, start a list of everything that makes you happy. Add to it each time you find yourself in happiness. Much easier to do when you're happy. Next time you ask yourself, am I happy, and you aren't sure, pull out the list. Then do something that gets you happy, so you'll know the answer to the first question, am I happy? Stop doing what makes you unhappy. Decide first. then figure out how, one step at a time. You know, be happy. You can find all the information for Amy in the show notes at theshift.com/podcast or theshift.com/Amy Harrison. If you have a moment, pop in a comment or rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or rave about the podcast to your friends. Whatever makes you happy makes us happy too. Thanks for joining us as we shift the story together.